You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN at 92.5. All right, take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational, presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting the Latino Learning Center. This year's tournament will take place Wednesday, December 1st, 10:30 a.m., Wildcat Golf Club. Joel and I are playing nine holes. Each golfer will receive beverages from Michelob Ultra and Cutwater Spirits.
Excuse to me.
Lunch from Frankie's Italian Kitchen. You'll be carrying my bag.
We'll be there.
Dinner from Orleans Seafood Kitchen, 18 holes of golf, and an award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now, ESPN975.com. Can't beat that. Golf at Wildcat. You get lunch from Frankie's, dinner from Orleans Seafood Kitchen. I mean, you gotta sign up for that. First day of December. I'm sure the weather is great. It's always sunny in Houston.
We'll
register
there.
Now, ESPN975.com.
We'll be broadcasting live, and we'll be
if
there.
I'm going to a golf course, I'm going to swing the sticks a little bit.
Well, then you're going to be doing it on the range or maybe outside the clubhouse during a commercial break. But I don't think, first of all,
can we do it from the range?
As the rookie.
Can we
I don't
do it
think
from
you're
the
coming in here demanding that if you're going to be doing a remote from a golf course, this is what you're going to be doing.
Well, I mean, I didn't say I'd be doing it from 12.
You're
three.
Not John Granato.
I'll show up early, hit a bucket of balls, maybe play a couple of holes afterwards.
Which
maybe
I
play
suggested
a couple of holes
you do.
Four.
But I've already told you that the Granato rules, I said like the Jordan rules in the NBA, the Granato rules are whenever he is available is when the tournament happens so he can play all 18 holes, and it's for the rest of us to deal with.
And look. I'm a good teammate. I'm not going to Scottie Pippen Granato. Granato has earned that. Granato has earned his stripes. So if that's the case, I'm going to be a good role player. I'm going to be a good teammate. I'm not going to Scottie Pippen and throw Jordan under the bus.
Scottie's an idiot, by the way.
Oh, Scottie's so dumb.
Yeah.
But I am going to get a few swings in December 1st.
There you go.
And you should, too. Register now, ESPN975.com. All right, Astros season is over. There's still going to be a topic of conversation in the city. They're not going anywhere, and you know that we love to talk the Astros, and we talk the Astros better than anybody else. Look, this is a huge offseason for James Click, Correa, the Baker thing. I think it's good that they get Baker done soon, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Lock down who your manager is. Then you have the CBA coming up in December.
That's huge
globally for Major League Baseball. So this is going to be a critical offseason for the Astros. Critical offseason for Major League Baseball as well. And now it leaves you with what we have to look forward to, the actual games. First off, Houston Texans. They haven't been winning many games in a row. They haven't won since winning against Jacksonville in week one. Nick Caserio held court for 45 minutes today and said a whole lot of nothing. David Culley was on with the radio team over there on their coaches show that they post on their website at HoustonTexans.com. Their website, HoustonTexans.com. And listen to this from David Culley about the game on Sunday.
And the other thing I'd like to say about that, about the finish, was this, is that our fans in that ball game, at the end of that ball game, going into the fourth quarter, was such a benefit for us and our players. And we felt it. And I appreciate that for everybody that was there when we were going through what we were going through. Because I felt like at that point, I felt like I was in a playoff game. Going into the fourth quarter when all those good things were happening.
Are you, though?
Vandy couldn't contain himself. He chuckled there a little bit. Playoff game? There was nobody in the seats to start. There was 70% less in the fourth quarter. A playoff game?
What are you, Jim Mora?
Playoffs?
They went and looked back at the analytics and said that the noise meter was higher than it was at any point during the game in the fourth quarter. And the
Even lack of total fan
support with the roof closed had an impact on his football team.
Playoffs?
Again, we kept talking about like how many benefits of the doubt are we giving to David Culley because he seems like a good, nice guy. He's like a granddad that you'd love to sit on the porch and talk sports with and share a beverage. But instead, every single one of these, from analytics to this, to the mismanagement of things in games, to all the different things that he says, to the one day he says one thing about Deshaun and the next day someone slaps his wrist, he has to say the opposite. At a certain point, you're going, what the hell are you doing, dude?
Playoffs from David Culley. Texans are in Miami. Is that a winnable game,
Dell?
Oh, Dell! I'm picking Miami in my survivor pool. A one-loss Miami Dolphin team. It's the first time in history that I've picked a one-win team this deep into the season as my survivor team of the week.
Well, I guess you should feel good about this. The Texans went up to Buffalo and got beat. What was it? Was it 40 to nothing?
It was 100.
I mean, Miami was within a score with about 5 minutes to go. So if you want to do the transit of property, one played a close game up there, the other had no shot. So you're probably right, but it's a one-win football team. They're bad for a reason. They lost to Jacksonville.
Which one?
Yeah, well, they're both. But I wouldn't be banging on either one because they're both bad, and if you lose to Jacksonville, which the Dolphins did and the Texans did not, and if Tyrod Taylor's playing, then maybe your bet is in a little trouble.
Nah, we'll feel good about it. Miami is my survivor pick. The other team that we have to look forward to, the Houston Rockets, who covered last night, back-to-back covers in L.A. in the City of Angels. They did lose 119-117, but some solace. Lakers favored to go to the NBA Finals out of the Western Conference. Rockets were in that game. Jalen Green played really well at 24 points, 5 of 10 from 3. Christian Wood was really good, double-double, 26-16. Kevin Porter, 5 turnovers. He didn't shoot it very well either. But hey, look, that's a game where you hope you can build off of a little bit for the Houston Rockets. They picked up his fourth year, which is a no-brainer.
Right.
I mean, no-brainer for a player.
He was a second-round pick.
And I mean, he's one of your best players, right? I mean, he's top three player on this team.
Because here's the thing. Everybody's talking about Jalen Green. The key was that he did a James Harden-esque jab dribble, step back, deep three over Anthony Davis late in the game to keep the Rockets with a chance to win. And that's all you could ask for. But at the same time, this is the spurts that we're seeing of Jalen Green. We see this once every fifth game, and I think part of it is the growing pains. But the bigger question for me is the other guy you mentioned, Christian Wood. He had good numbers again. Christian Wood has already made statements about he should be a max player. Christian Wood has made a ton of waves, both under the radar internally with just the team and also to the media about the lack of plays called for him and his lack of ability to get the ball enough to do what he wants to do. Is Christian Wood and the Rockets situation similar to what we said the Texans should do? Start shopping him now. Take the best offers you can get along with Eric Gordon and realize he won't be here when this team really starts to be good anyway. So with him about a little more than a year and a half left on his deal, are you shopping him now to a team that may need him, that may give you something of value for him so that you can continue to play Sengun and the bigs that you have that are younger?
Yes.
I completely agree. Yes. Completely agree.
To me, he's not going to be a rotation player. He's not going to be on this team whenever you contend for the playoffs again. Like I believe
they thought about giving him a max deal at any point, that would be absolutely insane.
Right. That's my stance on it too. Like, you're building around Jalen Green. Maybe Kevin Porter is somebody that you build around if he continues to show that development. Christian Wood, look, he puts up some numbers. Don't love what he does in the defensive end.
I don't either.
At all. I don't know if he is
the smallest big you'll find in the league.
Yeah, he's so thin, yep, too. He's weak. He's not strong.
He doesn't want to guard in the post.
No, not at all. I mean, he wants to score.
The block
and he wants
shots,
to grab
he'll
rebounds.
Grab some rebounds, but he does not want to guard in the post.
I believe he will get a max contract by somebody.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Somebody's going to see
the 25 and 15 he puts up nightly and be like, we need that guy.
I think he can up it to 17 or 18. I just don't see the 18 a year. I don't think he's going to get max money.
But absolutely, I would use Christian Wood to flip for assets, yep, and draft picks or whatever you can get young players. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Golden State has said to have been interested in him in the past. They're bringing Wiseman back. If you could get a 7-footer like Jonathan Wiseman.
James.
Or James Wiseman, I'm sorry. And you could get maybe one or two other pieces, throw-ins. Now you've got a big 7-footer about the same age as the guys that you're bringing along. So that's another valuable piece for this team, as opposed to a guy that's not going to be here when you're starting to get good.
I'm not sure Wiseman's going to be great, but he intrigues me. Like, I don't know yet. I just don't know, but he's definitely intriguing. Jalen Green, after the game yesterday, we for sure grew up a lot. I think today showed that we started playing like a team and trusting each other. I don't think we were doing that before. So yesterday, turning point for this Houston Rocket team.
No.
We'll see.
Okay, so at least they're finally buying into what the coaches have been selling, which means to tell me that for the first whatever how many games they played, they didn't give a rat's ass what the game plan was or what they were supposed to do defensively with rotations or offensively to pass the ball. They were just freewheeling it, playing pickup ball, and now, hey, what the coach has been teaching us, we figured out, might work a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Great.
Maybe. Maybe it's a good sign for Silas. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Astros fall last night. Season is over. What's the outlook for next season? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
We know Vegas likes to put odds on things. They like people betting on things. That's how they make their money, right?
Really?
Yeah, that's how they do it. Some cutting-edge stuff. It's what happens when you listen to the Killer Bees. We educate it. We're kidding. Dodgers the favorites to win the 2022 World Series. Houston Astros, second favorite to win the World Series. So a lot of folks, I mean, rightfully so, you're not happy today. We get it. Bitter taste in the mouth for sure. Disappointment in your mouth for sure. Still, what the Astros did this season, something to be proud of for the city. Look, you're one of only two teams. You go to the World Series third time in 5 years. A lot to be encouraged with there. A lot to be happy for. Yes, it is disappointing you didn't win the World Series.
No question. But the thing, and I don't know if you caught this or not, but the thing that concerned me, because I think the number one concern, aside from Carlos Correa, now that we know what Dusty Baker's situation is going to be in the offseason for the Houston Astros, aside from everything else, is Alex Bregman. Because we need the old air Alex Bregman back. Well, we were assuming that this was all driven by the leg injuries. But then you heard pregame last night, and then some, as it rolled into the game, it was something about his top hand. It wasn't because they had mentioned last game how he was working on trying to keep both hands on the bat. But then they elaborated a little bit more before in pregame leading into this game, saying he's had trouble. He told whether it be Ken Rosenthal or one of the baseball insiders.
Top hand is awful.
Basically, the top hand has been awful and has had no strength in it all year. And you start shaking your head and scratching your temple going, so wait a minute, is that an issue? Is that something health-related that has to be dealt with too, as on top of the leg? Because more than anything else, you assume this offseason he's going to get right. He's going to get healthy, whether he needs surgery on something or just medical attention or just rest. But part of what makes this team go is his little engine mentality and cockiness and everything else. That was missing. Poppy called him out on it, and the Fox guys called him out on it. It's got to come back. And I don't know if it's lost and it can't be found or it's just injury-related, but somehow, some way, that's got to come. That swagger's got to be back.
There's a good chunk of people that think A.J. Hinch getting in his chili when he carried the bat down to first base is what eliminated that swagger. I heard those comments about the hand. I heard those, too. That seemed to me to be more mechanical than anything else, and they were talking about how much BP he took after the hand. But he did open up in the press conference after the game yesterday, after they were eliminated, and was talking about the leg ailments that have been impairing him.
Honestly, I felt good enough to play and didn't get the job done. So we'll get everything fixed and come into camp ready to go. It's a super important offseason to get fully healthy and get ready to play 162. You know, it felt kind of like really wasn't there for a lot of it, and obviously take responsibility for that. It's you take great pride in being healthy and being able to be there for a full season, and wasn't able to do that the last 2 years. So this offseason will be key for getting healthy and getting ready to play a full season healthy and into the postseason as well.
You can hear it in his voice there, right? Injuries have cost him two seasons. He said he was good enough to play, which doesn't mean that he's entirely healthy. And then I think the key words there, get everything fixed, fully healthy.
Yep.
So it kind of revealed a little bit. You can tell he was guarded there, too.
Everything seems multiples, right? That leads you to believe it's more than just the lower leg injury. Maybe there is something going on with his top hand.
Yeah, maybe. Or it could just be both legs, too, right? Different injuries with the legs. We'll see. And maybe we won't see. But Alex Bregman certainly wasn't 100%. He's critical to the outlook next season of what this Astros team is going to be. Vegas thinks highly of them. Second highest odds to win the World Series next season at 7-1. Jose Altuve was asked about the outlook for next season as well, and he's pretty encouraged with what they have coming back.
The guys that are going to hit free agent this year, we really hope that all of them come back because, they're going to make us a better team. But we also have really good young players like Jordan Tucker it seems like they're going to be really good, a superstar for a long time. So it will be like a good mix.
So a good mix of veterans and young players. Even assuming that Carlos Correa leaves, you still have your veteran guys. Altuve is going to be back at second. Bregman's going to be back probably at third. I think there's a slight possibility he could be your shortstop. I doubt it, but slight. Michael Brantley's back as well. And then offensively, the young guys he mentioned, Jordan Tucker. Those guys alone offensively is good enough to win a bunch of games in Major League Baseball. And then you add some pieces. What does Jake Myers do?
Yuli's up, right?
Yuli's got a team option.
Okay, I would assume they're picking that up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, winning the batting
title. It's cheap, too. It's like
affordable.
$8 million.
Yeah, it's affordable. So Yuli's back. Altuve's back. A healthy Bregman, you assume, is back.
Maldi's back,
and you're not going to do anything with catcher because you've already got too many contracts coming down the pike, too, that I don't – and he's so valuable, especially if you're going to go with the young starters. We mentioned the five young starters that are back, and then you've got a Jake Myers in center field along with – if you're going to platoon him with Chaz, or you go out and get a veteran backup outfielder for cheap.
I think you're fine with what you have in the outfield, with Brantley in left.
And Brantley's got one unit left.
Myers in center, Tucker's in right.
Right.
And Chaz and Siri are your bench guys.
I think you're pretty solid.
You're fine there.
You're okay with Siri on your bench?
As a fifth outfielder, yeah.
Okay.
Are you
stunting his development by not giving him?
He's 26 years old. He's been on four different organizations.
But you're
his
to
upside
see what you got
has been reached. His upside has
you
been
don't know
reached.
That, though. But you,
I think I do. Saying,
okay, so you're just saying he just has to accept that he's a glorified pinch runner, fill-in
defensive
outfielder.
Guy.
That's
starts some game against lefties to give Brantley a rest.
If this team is that good,
Jeremy,
and if you don't believe in him, are you better off, especially if you're believing on what you're believing, that he's already reached his peak? That instead of trying to keep him strung along when we don't believe in him as at bats in the postseason either, that you go get a veteran bat instead that can give you the same kind of things but a better offensive opportunity, especially when called on as a pinch hitter.
Maybe so. Maybe you bring in a righty to kind of fill in for Brantley, give him some days off, because you're going to want to take care of Brantley so he doesn't get beat up. I mean, he was beat up at the end of the regular season, right? Didn't play in a ton of games towards the end of the year. So you might be in a spot where you never play Michael Brantley against left-handed pitching. That's the way you give him his days off. You limit what he's going to do because you hope you'll be a postseason team and you want him fresh in the postseason. So maybe you bring in a right-handed bat that can come off the bench. But they have Chaz, they have Siri, who I think that they liked in those spots to spot start. So I think they're completely fine with the outfield. The catcher position is interesting because Maldonado's under contract, Castro's under contract. They love this Corey Brown kid, too, in the minor leagues. So maybe he's somebody that can come up later in the – Corey Lee, I believe is his name. They love in the minor leagues. So maybe he's somebody that can come up in whenever Castro's on the IL, if that happens, or Maldonado gets injured, something like that. Like, I don't think they'll carry three catchers, but you would love to have Corey Lee in the dugout alongside Martin Maldonado for a certain amount of games. That way he can just kind of lean on his expertise and really teach him the game.
The key is, I don't assume Marwin will be back, but I do firmly believe that they have to do what they have to do to keep Diaz back, because he provides you so much flexibility with guys that get dinged up during the course of the year. Because he can play outfield, he can play infield, he's a stick at the plate, and you don't have to worry about him taking a huge dive if you, God forbid, have another Bregman injury or an injury to someone that's vitally important to your offensive lineman. Aledmys Diaz has proven he can really hit the ball. You got to have him part of this team, right, on your bench, assuming that's the role he wants to take. Because I'm sure there are teams out there that think that could be my everyday third baseman, second, wherever you want to play him, first baseman even, he could play. But he's important, because depth is important to teams that are fighting for a World Series and playoff berth. They need guys so that you don't take a massive step back when you
have
those.
Talking about Diaz?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think next year's is last year, too. I think he's arbitration. And then next year after the season, he'll enter free agency. Also like what you have coming back in the rotation. A lot of people are saying the offseason you need to add a starter. I'm not so sure about that.
I don't think
so either.
Because
you have Lance McCullers, and look, he has injury concerns, and he has one right now. But if everybody's healthy coming into when pitchers and catchers report in February, you have Lance, you have Fromber, you have Luis Garcia, you have Jose Urquidy, and you have what I'm hoping is Christian Javier back into the rotation. That's a solid rotation that's going to win you a lot of games. And you might be, well, there's not an ace there, right? I'm not so sure there's many aces left in Major League Baseball. Lance McCullers had the second-best ERA in the AL. Fromber Valdez had a better ERA than Lance McCullers, just didn't have enough innings to qualify. In my opinion, like maybe you just add to the bullpen. I saw that stat yesterday that said 60% of pitchers, starting pitchers in the postseason, don't make it past four innings. They don't go five innings anymore. So maybe you just load up on the bullpen and you have really good arms in the pen. Like you're losing Graveman. Yimi Garcia is going to be up in free agency.
You think you're
too.
Losing Graveman?
I mean, he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
Do you bring him back? I give that one a 50-50 shot.
I think he can come back. I really do. And he's one of the guys that have talked about the culture, the locker room, the togetherness that he really, really liked from the time he got there. So I think there's a good chance that they're going to show him some love and try and bring him back because they knew as much as there was fluctuation and a lot of uncertainty in the middle innings, he solidified the back end of the bullpen. And so they could really use him to come back and make sure that he and Stanek and Presley are your three. But when I look at it, McCullers is a very inexpensive quote-unquote ace. It's just his health. If he's healthy, he really grew into an ace-type role at the end of the year with what he was able to do in the playoffs. So you believe in him a lot more. And how quickly we went from Fromber at the start of the year was going to be your ace, and Lance just grew into it and said, it's mine, I'm grabbing the bull by the horns, I'm doing this thing. But you have concerns about his health. I think you go in without going out and getting another starting pitcher with the full-blown notion that I may have to go get somebody like I've done in the past between the start of the season and the trade deadline.
And that may be better for an organization as well that doesn't want to spend big in free agency. Like, if you're going to go after one of the top starting pitchers in the market, you're going to have to overpay and you're going to have to give a long-term deal, and that's something the Astros don't want to do. You're going to have money this offseason, especially if you don't sign Correa. Verlander off the books, Greinke off the books, Correa's off the books, Graven's off the books, and a couple of other free agents too. And maybe you do trade Odorizzi, which clears up about $8 million as well. So you're going to have money to spend. I like using that money on this bullpen and trying to get four or five really quality arms to go with what I think is a solid rotation that maybe does lack an ace, although I think Major League Baseball as a whole lacks aces. I mean, this staff got to the World Series without Lance McCullers, without all the money they're spending on Verlander, and really kind of a patched-together bullpen with a couple of quality arms. Like, really solidify that pen, because I think the rotation of the offense is good enough to get you to the playoffs, and now you have really quality arms in the postseason. I also like leaving a little bit of money there under the luxury tax. It's right around 210. Like, maybe you spend $190 million in payroll, because the biggest move the Astros have made in recent memory in terms of solidifying a World Series contenders when they traded for Justin Verlander, and the reason they got Justin Verlander was because the Tigers just wanted to get rid of that contract
and you had room.
So you might be in a spot this coming up at the trade deadline in 2022. You have a little bit of a window there to add a piece like that, and now you're not signing him to a long-term deal. You bring in a veteran rebuilding team is trying to get rid of, and you get them for, you know, pretty cheap deal.
And you got to have room, because remember, the biggest problem the Astros had with trying to redo this bullpen at the trade deadline was they didn't want to go over the tax. They didn't want, and Jim Crane didn't want to take on that extra expense, so they were limited, and that's what you want to avoid. You want to give yourself a little wiggle room so that if you do, for injury or desperation or a playoff push, want to add that extra guy, you got to have the room to do it too. And so it's vitally important that you look at it from that perspective. But I think that this team is good enough to win the division even as is.
Yeah.
Even if everybody walks.
Completely agree. I mean, I'm already looking for the win totals for next season, because this is a good core. Even if Correa leaves, this is a good core that should get back to the playoffs. Does it lower your ceiling? Sure. 713-780-ESPN. What do the Astros need to add in the offseason? What does the plan need to be for James Click? 713-780-3776. We'll get to that when we return. Also, we'll go around the NFL. A lot of big news out of the NFL today. We'll dive into it next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, before we get to this NFL news, 713-780-ESPN, what do you want the Astros to do in the offseason? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Troy, you're in the high with the Killer Bees.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Troy?
Troy, where you been?
I really take things. Man, I've been listening every day. I'm kind of heartbroken down what happened last night.
I know it.
It'll get better. I think they need to address. I think they got to get a big ace. I think they got to have a big time starter. And here's my problem. They've got one. I know he's not going to be back, but I sure hate to see Verlander go somewhere and win 15 games next season. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it. The call, Troy. Look, the Astros are going to offer Verlander the qualifying offer, which is going to be somewhere in the range of $17 to $19 million.
Think there's any chance he takes that? I think I gotta believe again when we talk about big teams that have big money, someone's throwing more money at him.
I believe he could get more money for sure in free agency. But does he love Houston? Does he love Jim Crane? Everything would tell you no because he's been away from the Houston
but
Astros.
But does this playoff episode have anything to do with it too? Where the team didn't want him to throw out the first pitch?
I mean, you could do far worse than making $17 to $19 million on a 1 year deal in Houston, right?
I mean, you know where I think he goes if he doesn't.
I have two.
I mean, I thought obviously everybody said going back to Detroit.
Yep.
But I think the sleeper in all this is the Mets.
Really?
Because it's big dollars. It's the city. Kate loves New York, all of her time there. And they're trying to make a splash. And they've already got, a pretty good pitching staff. Stroman, I believe, Stroman's free, right? So they got money.
Stroman's free.
He could replace Stroman, depending on what the price is, and go along with whatever you do if both DeGrom and Thor are healthy. Syndergaard, that he could add to them.
Syndergaard's a free agent too, I believe.
Is he?
Somebody texting in actually and saying that they would love the Astros to go after Syndergaard on a proven deal because he's had all the injuries, right?
To me, that
makes perfect sense
because he has all the makings if he could stay healthy of an ace.
He'll be a free agent at the end of the year, so maybe you sign him to a $10 million 1 year deal.
Sure.
And if it works, great. You have the top end starter.
Here's the thing too. I would love to say sign him to a Charlie Morton deal, but then the thing that popped into my head is, well, there's no Brent Strom coming right through the doors to make sure that we take him to the next level.
But his is more about injury than actual stuff. You know what I mean?
Like, he's got a massive fastball, but his secondary pitches, you can always tune them up. Garrett Cole's the same way.
He didn't pitch well this year because, one, he was injured. Didn't pitch at all last year, and then in 19 at 4.28 ERA. Before that, 303, 297, 260, 324.
But I think a lot of that has to do with secondary pitches. And you think about young, unpolished Garrett Cole with the Pirates, same thing. Massive upside on the fastball, dominant with that. But it was his secondary pitches that need to be tuned up. It would be the perfect opportunity. But you better hope that these two young apprentices learn from Brent Strom enough to be able to take him to the next level.
To me, there aren't many aces, period.
There's not. I was trying to think about it. Who is there?
In the world or in free agency?
In Major League Baseball, when you think about it, the
Garrett
White Sox
Cole?
Had three they thought.
They really don't have any.
And they can't figure out which one of any of them is. Garrett Cole for sure is one. Scherzer is another one. But Scherzer's already kind of said he doesn't want to be here because he didn't want to be here at the trade deadline. So he's not. Walker Buehler, is he that guy?
He didn't look like it in the playoffs.
Right. So there's another guy. The kid you saw last night is supposed to be the up-and-coming version of a new type of ace, but he had two just horrible outings. Sure, the Astros, it wasn't home run balls. It was dink and dunks, but aces find a way to pitch their way out of that.
DeGrom, he's an ace.
Yep.
Garrett Cole, he's an ace. Shane Bieber, an ace? I mean, bona fide ace.
Couldn't stay healthy,
he's
but
pretty good.
He's good.
Okay, that's three. Trevor Bauer? I mean, he can't even play baseball right now.
He was.
Max Scherzer?
Scherzer for sure.
Three and a half?
Still is.
They have Clayton Kershaw here as one of the top pitchers.
Way.
They have Yu Darvish here as one of the top pitchers. Walker Buehler, maybe. Hyun-Jin Ryu from Toronto? Nah.
Nope.
Aaron Nola? Nah. Blake Snell? No. Max Fried? Looked like it last night. Lucas Giolito? No. Luis Castillo? No. I mean, there's not very many aces
Nathan
in baseball.
Nathan Eovaldi? No.
I mean, just true, absolute, top-of-the-rotation studs like Garrett Cole. I mean, they're few and far between. It's the way that Major League Baseball is going, wherever you pitchers
like
go
lock,
five, six
right?
innings,
like
and you go to the bullpen.
90% of the time, it's a lock, right? You're not going to get the Fromber good start, bad start. You're not going to get the up and downs. You're going to get a guy that is locked in to keep you in a ball game and is going to make it as competitive as it can be more times than not. There's basically 10 or less.
I like our idea, and it's not just because I like us. I do. But look, this rotation to me and this offense good enough to go to the playoffs. Yep. If you make it a really strong bullpen where maybe you bring back Graveman and then you add two comparable arms to like a Kendall Graveman with one of them being a lefty, now you're just trying to get to the fifth inning and you go to those
four. So you need a long arm,
right? It's the Atlanta Braves model.
I was going to say, it's what the Braves did. What they showed you is how valuable a bullpen can be. Even the White Sox to some extent.
I mean,
because
Charlie Morton's not
they had live arms.
You know what I mean?
Think about what you're losing now. We figured out who we have the five young starters, but now you don't have the depth at the starting rotation and you're taking away two guys that were your long relief in Javier and or a Greinke Odorizzi type. So now you're going to have to replace that guy when your starter does have an off outing.
Could be Odorizzi.
When there is an injury. I guess if you can't trade him, then Odorizzi could slide into that slot. Otherwise, that's one of the positions you have to address, as well as a lefty, even whether it be another lefty.
Daily Raley's a free agent. He's a free agent.
Wouldn't hurt my feelings to be left.
Heartbreaking.
But Blake Taylor ain't it. So
see, I like Taylor's stuff, but he hasn't lived to it.
Right.
You're right.
But you love Josh James's arm too, I'm sure, when he got there. And I did too. But guess what? Between the years, if you can't figure it out and learn the art of pitching, not just throwing, at a certain point you go, you can have the best lively arm in the world, but if you don't know how to pitch, you're not going to do us any good.
It's a fair point. Top free agents starting pitchers this year, and this is why I don't love the idea of going after one of these guys, because you're going to have to overpay and you're going to have to commit to a longer-term deal than you're willing to do. I'd rather go the bullpen route, and then maybe you trade for a starter at the deadline. Max Scherzer, top free agent, that's not likely. Kevin Gausman, the second-best pitcher that's out there, he had a really good year, but he's 31 years old. Are you wanting to overpay, overcommit there? Robbie Ray, who came out of nowhere with Toronto, he's 30 years old. Noah Syndergaard is fourth on the starting pitcher rankings. I love a prove-it deal. That's a great idea. Clayton Kershaw, 34 years old. You're not willing to commit to that. Marcus Stroman.
Kershaw's health is a big issue.
Exactly. Stroman I like, but it also comes down to the offer. Like, I'm not going to overspend on Marcus Stroman. I love the idea of having him in the rotation, not overspending. Justin Verlander, 7. Carlos Rodon, 7th on the 8th on this list. Rodon has been another talented guy that's only pitched well one season. Eduardo Rodriguez, 9th. So, I mean, the starting pitchers that are out in free agency just really aren't there. I go bullpen route.
I would take the Astros' young arms, majority of the young arms, over most of the guys on the list. So therefore, I'm not that should tell you all you need to know about should I spend money now or save it for later? Because later, if teams underachieve, if teams struggle, if guys get hurt, and you know it's not going to be your year and they want to trim the fat and get rid of salaries, that's where you swoop in a guy that's not a free agent that you could get, trade, and do another Verlander, Garrett Cole type move.
And probably on a shorter-term deal, right?
Right.
So now you're not committing to 6 years at $25, $30 million. Now you're looking at $25, $30 million for 1 or 2 years, like Justin Verlander, and then where they kind of messed up. In hindsight, they messed up giving Verlander the extension in hindsight. NFL news, Aaron Rodgers, COVID, will not play this week, could possibly not play next week as well. There's a huge controversy. Is he vaccinated? Is he not? He said, what did that word he say?
He's immunized.
He's immunized. He said that
through
his
holistic methods.
He said in August.
Which he was trying to get the NFL and NFLPA to accept as being the same as being vaccinated. And they came back and said, nah, it's not going to fly.
Yeah. So he's
out
this week.
I'm not jazzed about Chiefs Packers with Jordan Love as my quarterback.
Yeah,
I'll just let you know.
Looking good for Kansas City. Odell Beckham Jr. looks like he's on the verge of being released. His dad posted a YouTube video yesterday showing him how open he's been, and Baker Mayfield just isn't giving him the ball because everybody's been saying Odell sucks, Odell's not good. And then you had Odell Beckham Sr. post on YouTube with all of these cuts from the All 22 and the film and stuff showing how wide open he is, Baker Mayfield just isn't giving him the ball. He showed up to practice today. Cleveland told him to go home, and there's some Twitter reports, and maybe it's already happened, I just missed it. It looks like they're going to release Odell Beckham Jr.
Come on to Green Bay. It's where he's wanted to play in the past.
Really?
I was mad because I've said for 2 years, and he had a relationship with Aaron to where he said he wanted to play for the Packers, that I said the one thing you can do to solidify everything for this team being legit, taking another go for it, would be to get someone on the other side of Adams. And the fact that they didn't do it yesterday concerned me, and I was talking to one of my best friends back home, and he was saying, you know what, that's the one thing everybody's talking about. But they were concerned about having the money clear to do it. If he gets waived and he can just walk right into the locker room in Green Bay, it doesn't matter. Maybe that's why they cut Jalen Smith in part two.
Because well, they wouldn't have known that yet.
No, but they're still trying to create some money to see if there's someone out there after the deadline gets released. Boy, it just makes too much sense.
It'd be interesting, too, to see if he gets claimed off waivers because now you owe him the rest of his contract, which is a little pricey, or if he clears waivers and now he's a free agent, can go anywhere. Another ankle injury for Saints receiver Michael Thomas. He's done for the year, so he's not coming back. Bad news for the Saints after Jameis Winston, and then you have all the controversy between the two of them. Philip Rivers said he'll listen if the Saints called. Maybe not be a bad idea. Although I'm curious.
I'm curious how they feel because I think they should call at least kick
at least
the
to
tires.
Be a backup for Taysom, right?
It's either Taysom or Simeon, but either one of those guys. Do you see being the next Nick Foles to take you somewhere in the playoffs?
Maybe you just do it so weird with Taysom Hill, where you just change your offense and you're a lot run. Very run heavy.
But Jeremy, this is a team that has Super Bowl aspirations that looks defensively like they are a.
Is Philip Rivers taking you over the top though?
At least he's a veteran that can move the football
I think
and,
you have
and
more
make
upside
the reads.
With Taysom.
I don't. In terms of passing?
Well, he can't pass.
I don't.
You just have to be Baltimore.
No, I think that he can't pass the long ball maybe, but I think in terms of the route trees and progressions and being a veteran quarterback, he proved last year as much as he was inconsistent at times, he had the Colts in a game at the end of the season in the playoffs that they were in. I think that the Saints look at that and go, that experience means more to me than changing up and on the fly an entire offense for Taysom Hill or trying to make Simeon work when he's not a leader of a playoff caliber team.
Your ceiling is nowhere with Trevor right. Siemian. Solid as a backup, can win a game as a backup. We saw that, but can't really take you anywhere. Christian McCaffrey set to return from IR. And more news from the Ruggs incident yesterday. We know that he's being charged with DUI with death. He was traveling at 156 miles per hour moments before the collision. They said it was like 121 when the airbags deployed. After collision, the car flew or the car slid 500 feet.
His
up the
or
strip
the lady?
I think both of them. And he also was given the see how much he was drinking. It was twice the legal limit. Not looking good for Ruggs.
More so than anything else, Jeremy, the thing that really has to be the center of attention. A lady and her dog died and burned alive.
She
was innocent. She was hit from behind in a small Toyota SUV by a Corvette doing 156. This doesn't have any implications on NFL anymore. This is a really stupid guy that took someone's life, and she died the most horrible death you can imagine.
I had a few people texting me yesterday in our group chat saying, does he play again, kind of like Dante Stallworth? Although Dante right. Stallworth, a guy jumped in front of his car, so that was tough to prove in front of Dante Stallworth. Why are you looking at me funny like that?
I don't know if he jumped in front or if Dante had an issue with him.
No, he jumped. He jumped in front. That's how Dante Stallworth got off.
I think he still created. I mean, he still had vehicular manslaughter.
Sure, but the reason that he didn't get thrown into jail for a long time was because they couldn't prove that his manslaughter DUI is what caused the death of the man because the man jumped into the road.
I get caught up in the fact it was a travesty. The guy did 24 days in jail.
Sure. Henry Ruggs plays again in the NFL. Like, that was a topic of conversation yesterday. I think you see this
today. So
there
is no probations. There is no kind of things in Nevada. He has to do between, I think it's 2 and 20.
Yep. And the fact that he was going 156
yeah.
and twice
and the
legal limit.
And the way this happened and the kind of death that she incurred, I don't know that he does.
I don't think so either. Raiders released him yesterday. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. More Astros morning when we return. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Hey guys, Joel Blank here to tell you about new brakes. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. There's a reason why I'm telling you about them, because I believe in them. And so do the listeners that have hit me up and said, what's that brake thing you talked about? It's new brakes, nubrakes.com. The reason why you go with them more so than anything else is they come to you to do what they do. They do it better than anybody else. And saving time means it's saving you money. Because while they're at your job doing it, like they did for me here while I was doing a show, they were doing the brakes in the parking garage. I didn't have to waste hours at a time at some nasty brake shop at the mercy of some mechanic that was taking his own sweet time and trying to upsell me on everything under the sun. Nope, they do brakes. That's all they do. They're all certified technicians, and they come to you to do what they do. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you save 10%. All you do is go to nubrakes.com, and they'll take you through the process, schedule the appointment, come to your house while you're drinking a beer, watching a game, cutting the lawn. They're doing your brakes. In less than an hour, start to finish, done. Top-notch work, top-quality products, competitive prices with any brake shop in town. It is easy as pie, and it's saving you time and money. Check them out today. Tell them ESPN 97.5 and Joel Blank sent you by. It's newbrakes.com. That's N-U-Brakes, newbrakes.com.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
D-Dip's asking a good question. What am I going to watch tonight now? No Game 7.
NBA!
I'm going to catch up on my stories.
That's why I said we didn't go. My sign for the B today wasn't gone fishing, gone swishing.
I'm going to catch up on my stories. A little morning show. I save Curb so I'd be, you know, have something to cheer me up after a loss. Yellowstone, I think, started the other day, too. I got that one DVR'd. What else do I watch? Oh, Secession. I haven't seen the new Secession from Sunday either.
So. Real Housewives you'll be in on?
My wife does DVR that. Sometimes that
don't
is
blame
on
it on
our
your
house.
Wife. You're in on it. You like the cat fights.
I don't think I've ever turned on the Real Housewives. That's always my wife's discretion. Brad
Million
Keller,
Dollar Listening.
Joining
Million
us
now. Dollar Listening. I've been catching up on them.
Never watched that one.
Great show.
Got a lot of shows to catch up on now that the baseball playoffs are over. What shows you watch, BK?
None.
None?
No, I don't watch shows. I watch sports.
I don't believe
so. See, I'm on the basketball.
I say that and I get killed for that,
I'm not
but that's a fact.
That.
I'm on the basketball. I'm on the hockey. I think I've started and finished three shows
hockey?
In my entire life.
Dallas.
Big hockey guy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to be a big hockey guy, but I need local interest for me to be a big hockey guy.
See, like
guy.
Growing up in Wisconsin, Badger hockey was massive. So I was a hockey guy. And like for Cub Scout trips and stuff, we'd go to the Admirals games, which were the equivalent of the Arrows. But then you get out of it, you get out of the Midwest, and it just doesn't have the same feel going to a hockey game in Houston, Texas. Or I can see the Stars because they were good with Madonna and all those guys too. But yeah, I've never had that feeling once I left Wisconsin.
If Houston got a team, I would jump on board. No doubt about it. I've been to a couple of NHL games, and they're really fun.
Oh, in person, they're fantastic. But, whenever we went on the road, and Craig and Bullard were massive NHL guys,
really?
But if we had a night off on the road, first thing we looked at was, is there an NHL game in town? Because they are fun in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the biggest difference between in-person watching and TV watching in terms of a sport is NHL. It's hockey.
No
the
doubt about it.
And how the speed of play. But, you know, the problem is people don't realize this, how expensive the NHL ticket. For a long time, it was the most expensive of the big four on a game-by-game basis until the new stadiums and the more luxury suites and the more, you know, VIP-type areas. NHL was his most expensive ticket in town for a long time. And that, you know, I was on the committee to try and bring them here the last time. And that was one of the biggest drawbacks was, will they get people in Houston in the heat to come to hockey games consistently, not just once every month, but consistently.
Yeah, I went to a Flyer game last time in Philly. That was pretty good. 18,000 screaming Philly fans. Mm. That was awesome. What do you have coming up on the show, BK?
We'll be speaking to... I can't speak, apparently. We'll be talking to Bob Nightingale at 5:30.
He had some news today.
He had some news today, reporting that Dusty Baker will be coming back for at least one more season.
And that Zach Greinke was leaving because he wanted to pitch for an NL team.
Which makes no sense.
No sense.
Nope. So the thing is, though, if Nightingale is reporting it, that means it's probably not true. So now I'm worried that Dusty Baker is not coming back.
I want you to bring that up to him if you
can. Think Zach Greinke is going to be pitching for an AL team next year. But Nightingale at 5:30, Stuart Mandel of The Athletic at 4:30. We'll get his thoughts on the initial
brother, right?
CFP rankings. I believe so. Yeah. I believe so. So I
germaphobe
heard you guys
as well?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, he's like Howie. He's like Monk, too, the show Monk. Yeah. He's very into that. He washes his hands after shaking anyone's hands.
All right, we're going to be listening. It's going to do it for us. I want to thank Dell for doing all the hard work. He's Joel. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Houston, the Wheelhouse next. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 daily double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. There's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's. For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.